No shiur next week. The week after, we will have a shiur. Yeah. So we learned the Gemara Chof Aleph from the base. The Gemara about 10 lines from the top speaks about people who want to succeed in learning. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Ani Chochma. The Chochma in Mishlei usually refers to Torah. Most of the time, all the time, refers to Liman HaTorah. Ani Chochma Shachanti Ormo. So first, the Gemara gave an interpretation that when a person starts to learn, so he learns how to drei, whether it's he or she will learn how to drei, and learn how to be clever, and learn how to, if he sins, he'll learn how to hide it. And that's not a good thing for anyone, but especially no good for women. So that's why the Gemara recommends, that's why this Tana recommends, it's not a, Reb Leizer says, it's not a smart idea to teach your daughter Torah, because she may start doing shtick. And then the Gemara says, V'rabbanon, but all the other Tanoim, about 7 lines from the top, V'rabbanon, the other Tanoim who don't agree, and they hold that it's not an avera to teach your daughter Torah. So how do they, what do they do with that pasuk, Ani Chochma Shechanti Ormo? So they say, no, it doesn't mean Ormo. Hi, Ani Chochma, my Avdilei. How do they interpret the pasuk? No, Mevoy Lady Kid Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. They have a different interpretation. What does he say? Ein Devar Torah Miskayim Misha Mamin Atzma Orem Aleihem. Person will only Ani Chochma. The Torah is proclaiming, people will only be successful in learning if they're Shechanti Ormo, if they make themselves Orem. Al Divrei Torah. What does it mean Orem? So Rashi has two pshatim. Orem means naked, or Orem means clever and sly. So Orem means naked, it means he gives up everything in life. If a guy wants to enjoy, he wants to have a big parnasa, and he wants to enjoy eating delicious food, and he wants to sleep 8 hours a night, and he wants to sleep on a pleasant bed, and nice furniture and everything, so that's going to take away from his time and learning. Not that he should become a sugar about learning, he shouldn't get a nervous breakdown from overexerting himself, but he has to try to give up as much as Olam Hazeh as possible. He has to make himself naked from everything in the world. That's the one pshat that Rashi gives. Rashi, and the third line from the top, Shachanti Yomisha Pirish, he removes himself mikol asokim, from all business, from all other things. V'nasele oni v'chosako. He only has learning and he gives up everything else in life. Then Rashi has another pshat. Shemesim Atzma Ora means clever, not naked, clever. What does it mean? He learns with seichel. If he's just going to run through Shas and then run through Shas a second time, so it's going to go through one ear, go in one ear, go out the other ear. You have to learn a little bit at a time in Chazer and make sure you understand. You have to learn Menachal al HaKovit. First you learn Chumash. Then you learn Mishnais. Then you learn Gemara. You have to learn with an educational system, with a pattern. So that's what Rashi writes. The second Mishat Loshen Acher, Shemes Matzma Orem Garsinon, not naked, but rather Shemarim, he uses a kunz, a chokhmah, she's kaim tarosai, he shouldn't forget it. How is that? Likbot sal yad, to learn a little bit at a time, and then to lilmad mikalodam, he shouldn't say, I'm only going to learn by this rabbi. Why only learn by that rabbi? Halamid, ezel chokhmah, lamin mikalodam. Try to attend as many shurim as possible, try to pick up as much as possible, and then you try to put everything into a proper perspective. You have to learn with the seichel, with the system. So those are
the word harama that we use, you should make an harama, that's the same word. Yeah.
Clever, yeah. Harama means a trick. Right, a drei. So also from that lotion, orma means with a clever, with a sly fashion. That was the first shot that Rabbi Blazer also learned. Anisha chachma shachanti orma, kimisha, how did he say? Kimisha nichna so chachma ba'odam, nichnasim armumias, he becomes clever and sly. And the Rabbanan say the same pshat, but in a positive way, that in order to succeed in learning, you have to use seichel. You have to learn with seichel. I mentioned there was a Talmud Chacham who lived 50 years after the Vilna Gaon, and he wrote a thin sefer on all of Shas. I forgot what it's called. That's the sefer. It's Heoros on all of Shas. That's the sefer where they have the story that Abchaim Balozhiner heard the Hasidim have a minhag that they don't need gibrochs on Pesach, so he went, he traveled specially to Vilna. They asked the Vilna Gaon, what does he say about it? So the Vilna Gaon heard that the Hasidim have a chumrah, so he said right away, by definition, it's no good. The Vilna Gaon is very opposed to Hasidus, and he put a knedel in the window. Everybody should know that he holds from, you're allowed to eat gibrochs, nothing wrong. So the source of that story is in this sefer. I forgot the name of the sefer, will come back to me. It's a sefer Horus on all of Shas, on Pesachim, and not Daf, on Daf Mem, where it says, that whatever is baked already, matzah, can't become chametz. It's enough in the Gemara that matzah can't become chametz. So he tells that story over there. So in the introduction to that sefer, this Rav writes, his father was a Rav, and his father wanted him to grow in learning. So his father hired the Nachlas David, who had learned in Volozhin Yeshiva, Barab Chaim Volozhin. His father paid him money. He should learn b'charusa with his son. And he says, Nachlas David was a little older than me, he was sharper than me, but he knew how to learn much better than me. Why? Because when he was brought up as a youngster, his village was closer to Vilna, and the influence of the Vilna Gaon's Derech HaLimud had already reached there. And I lived in a village that was further away from Vilna, so the hashpah of the Derech HaLimud and the Vilna Gaon didn't yet reach my village. So that's why he knew how to learn better than me. And he writes that they made up that they're going to learn together 6 years. They learn together 1 year, they'll cover all of Zroim. Then the next year they cover all of Moyed, the next year they cover all of Noshim, then 1 year Nezikin. So it didn't happen like that. They learned together for 2.5 years, he writes in the Hagdama. Then Rab Chaim Volozhin got a letter, then the Nachlas David, Rab David Tebel, got a letter from Rab Chaim Volozhin, who was still alive. Could he please come back to the yeshiva? He wants him to give a shir in the yeshiva. He gave a shir during the lifetime of Rab Chaim Volozhin. The Nachlas David gave a shir in the yeshiva while Rab Chaim Volozhin was alive. So he said that was the end of the Chavrusa. After 2.5 years, they didn't even finish halfway through Noshim, and he lost his Chavrusa. So he says, and was bashteit, and what constitutes the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon that it was so different? So he says, all over Europe, they would learn Shulchan Aruch first, before they learned Gemara, and then they would go learn Gemara afterwards. And they didn't understand the Shulchan Aruch, because they didn't know what it was talking about. The Shach a lot of times is in the middle of a Marsho. If you don't know the Gemara, you don't know the Tosis, how are you going to begin to understand what the Shach is talking about? Or the Magen Avraham also is talking about a Tosis here and a Tosis. You don't know the Gemara, sir. So you have to reconstruct in your mind. It probably says this, it probably says that. More than half the time you're guessing wrong. You're reconstructing everything wrong. So he says, in the Vilna Gaon's Derech HaLimud, the big breakthrough of the Vilna Gaon was, first you learn Chumash, then you learn Mishnayis, and then you learn Gemara. You go in order. Avadat in Pirkei Avos, but for many centuries, everybody was violating what it said in Pirkei Avos, so the Vilna Gaon said, we've got to go back to the style of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Avada. That there's an essay by Elio Kitov. He was in Chinuch for many, many years. He was in Chinuch. So he published an essay, he passed away already, but he published an essay maybe 40 years ago, Al-Chet Shachatan Al-Fanacha B'Chinuch HaBonim. So that was the title of the essay. And he says that we do Chinuch improperly. We hack the children with Mishnayis, they don't know Chumash yet. We hack them with Gemara, they don't understand the Mishnayis yet. The Tanoim sized up the situation that the child's mind is attuned between the age of 5 and 10, he can cover all of Tanakh. His mind is not ready yet for Mishnayis. And what happens is that the parents are always pushing the principals in the school. We want you to teach our children Gemara in kindergarten. If not, we're going to take and put them in the other yeshiva. They keep on pressuring. So the principals always give in because they're afraid they're going to lose students, because they threaten they're going to send the child to the other school. And he says it's terrible. The principal shouldn't give in. The children's mind is not yet attuned to understanding. Before the age of 10, between the age of 10 and 15, that's when they can understand Mishnah. It's just to get Piskei Dinim. Din is like this, din is like this, Shoshan, you don't know why. Then, to understand Gemara, you have to be at least around 15 years old to begin to understand Gemara. So that's what, that was the great breakthrough of the Vilna Gaon, the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon. In Satmar, they still have the old Derech. You see children learning there, they're learning Yoredei with the Shach. They never learned Chulin. They don't know what it says in the Gemara. They're learning Yoredei with the Shach, or they're learning Arachayim with the Magen Avraham. What Magen Avraham? How can you understand the Magen Avraham? You don't know what he's quoting. Magen Avraham is more difficult than the Shach. Magen Avraham is more cryptic. So you have to read, you can't figure out what he's talking about at all. Even if you know Gemara, you can't figure out. So you have to look in the Machzah Shekel. So if you don't know the Gemara, Machzah Shekel just quotes a little bit. So they start reconstructing in their mind. It probably says this, and it probably means this, and it probably means that. Most of the time you guess wrong. Most of the time you guess wrong. That's the problem with the Levush. The Levush was a great goyin in the late 1500s, the early 1600s, and he has a commentary on Arachaim, Yeridei, Chashmish, but Devinaz, he has on everything, and most of the time we don't accept what he says, because he's working with the Shulchan Aruch, and usually he didn't go back to the Gemaras, and he makes up explanations from thin air. Everything is nishgishtoig and nishgiflag. Yeah, everything is most difficult. That's better to tell the story about the Shagasari, that he said, when he was 90 years old. He always used to disagree with all, whenever he had something on his mind, he disagreed. So when he was 90 years old, he went to take a sefer out of the bookcase, and the whole bookcase fell on him. And then he saw he was under the bookcase, and they started pulling him out. So he said, it's not going to help, he's going to die. He said he always disagreed with all of these svarim, and now they jumped him. Now they all got together, they ganged up together, they jumped him. And when he was under the pile of svarim, he asked mechila from everybody, so they were all moichel, except for the levush, because he says he was mevazer levush more than everybody else. So he says, the levush killed me. He was a moichel. He got all the others to gang up and to jump on me. He's at the age of 90, not yet. Died at the age of 90. So that's the degas, the gans, the derech of the Vilna Gaon, to go in order to learn. We don't do it. You have I teach in the yeshiva, so I don't really teach Gemara. I use Gemara as a pretext to teach Chumash, to teach Jewish history, to teach Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, to teach a lot of other things. The boys, even on a college level, even on a smicha level, they don't know elementary things. Yeah. So the Gemara has this advice. Ein atorim miskayemes, elamir shemamin atzma orim aleihem. So Rashi gave the two pshatim. Orim means either you give up everything in life, or it means you have to do with chachma, with pinchas. You have to have an educational system that's going to work. You have to learn with seichel. And the next Amora quotes a different pasuk. Am Rabbi Yochanan, ein devatar miskaimim li shemes matzma kimisha eino. Shenema vahachachma me'ayin timotze. Me'ayin means mishemes matzma kain. If a person is arrogant, he doesn't stand that good a chance at being matzlich and learning as one who is humble. One who is arrogant already made up his mind. He already made up his mind. He thinks he knows what it says. He's not going to pay attention to the details. And if a person is humble, he stands a better chance of understanding. He didn't make up his mind in advance. So that's what he touches the pasuk. When the person feels that he's an ayin, that he's a nothing, so with a little humility, so he'll succeed in learning much better. This is certainly true. So then the Mishnah had, the Gemara here is commenting on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah quoted that it's possible for a woman to be guilty of loisinov, and her husband brings it to the Beis HaMikdosh, and she'll drink the Maim HaMarim, and she won't die for 1 or 2 or 3 years later because of the schus. The Gemara said, what schus? Schus of Torah? What kind of schus of Torah? So the Gemara had a whole discussion. So then the question is, so if the other women, there's a network of all the women, they all schmooze with each other, so the women got to know this woman was guilty, they know she was mezana, she didn't die, so what's going to be? So the women will say that my mom doesn't mean anything. So that's why the first Tana Ben Azai, who was not married, it's a question in the Gemara, did he marry the daughter of Rabbi Akiva and he got divorced? That's how the Gemara said on Dav Gimel. It's unclear whether he never got married. He married the daughter of Rabbi Akiva and he got divorced right after. Within a week he got divorced. So the man who didn't deal with a wife, the one who has never married, he thinks that it's very important we should teach all the women Torah, that they should know that the schus is Torah. He never had any children. So he says, you have to teach your daughter Torah. She should understand that the women shouldn't think that there's something wrong with the Maimon Marim. And the Tana Reb Lezer disagrees and he says, wrong. That's how the Gemara corrected the Mishnah. It's not a smart idea. Tiflis, why? Tiflis means pritzus, nus. Why? Because one who starts to learn Torah Shabbat Pe mainly, he's going to learn how to drey, so she'll learn how to do things in a sneaky fashion. So Adarabba, this may lead her to sin. People who don't learn Torah are more tamim mizdik, which is often true. People who don't learn Torah are more tamim mizdik. People who learn Torah...
Why are you ascribing such deviousness to the female population?
The men and the women. Not only the female, no. Whoever learns Torah becomes more devious. So by a man it's bad, by a woman it's terrible. So the man is mechuyav to learn Torah, so you have no choice. And by the women it'll be terrible. So Rabbi Lezer recommends that you shouldn't teach women Torah. It'll bring more kilkel. So along the lines of Rabbi Lezer, usually Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua disagree. So here Rabbi Yeshua is basically saying the same as Rabbi Lezer. Roitze Yisha bekavet tiflus mitesha kavin uprishus. The Mishnah quotes on Chofa and Aleph. So how do you translate the words? Rotsa Isha Bekav. Kav means a small amount. Small amount of food. a woman would prefer to have a small amount of food rather than a large amount of food. Why? They're all on diet. Well, what does it mean? A woman would rather have kav, a small amount of food, as opposed to teisha kabin. A woman would rather have tiflus. Tiflus means to have fun in life, to enjoy life, to be with either her husband or someone else, rather than precious, rather to be abstaining from hanos or lamazah. So what does it say? A woman would rather have less food than more food. Why? Who wants to fast chanesa? Oh, so the Gemara says that's what it means. A woman would rather have a lot of tiflus, a lot of pleasure with a man, with less food, rather than to have a lot of food. People enjoy food and people enjoy the pleasures of sex. So the women would prefer to have the pleasure from tiflus as opposed to the pleasure of eating more food. That's what he says. So he's saying the same as Reb Lezer. Often Reb Lezer and Bishua disagree all over Shas. Here he's supporting Reb Lezer. He says it's not a smart idea to teach your daughter Torah because she's going to become full of arma, and they're more interested in this pleasure than in the other pleasure. So that arma is going to be misplaced. It's going to be used in the wrong direction. So that's what the Gemara comments on Chof Aleph from the base. They quote the caption from the Mishnah. Reb Shua Emer writes a Isha. The Gemara says, "My karma, what's the tengezok?" He says, "A woman would rather eat less than eat more, and she's going to fast every month in a donishtik. Why?" The Gemara says, "No, he meant hachi karma. It means like this: right? So he should be kav v'tiflus imo mitisha kav in a precious. If it's a toss up between having more pleasure of marital pleasure as opposed to having more pleasure of eating food, so the women would prefer to fast tanesim and have the pleasure of married life rather than to have the pleasure of eating food." So he's saying the same as Reb Lezer. You have to be careful. He's agreeing with Reb Lezer. The Rambam, when he quotes this, he says, basically from the Rambam is mashma, like we said from the Prisha, that the Isser only is the father shouldn't teach his daughter, he shouldn't send his daughter to a school where they have the same curriculum as they have for the boys. But when the girl is old and she chooses on her own, in high school, the parents decide. In college, ready, the girls decide. The children decide on their own what they want to study. So when the girl's ready, older, married already, she wants to learn Gemara, so Gesundheit, let her learn whatever she wants. So that's number one from the Rambam. Rambam says a woman learns Torah. She's not mitzvah, but she gets chayla kena mitzvah v'yosa, like a woman who shakes a lulav, a woman listens to tekiyah shofar, a woman sits in the sukkah. God la mitzvah v'yosa, mishena mitzvah v'yosa. The man who shakes a lulav gets more schar than a woman. But the woman who learns Torah will get reward like an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa. And then he says, but we recommend that the father shouldn't teach his daughter Torah. That's on the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, that's okay. That's what the Rambam says. So the Mefarshim say, where did he get it from? The Vilna Gaon writes like this in the Bir Agra on Yeridei, and the other Mefarshim say the same. They say the Mokher seems to be a Mishnah in the Dorim. There's a Mishnah in the middle of the Dorim. People used to get angry at each other, so he used to take a neder. I'm not going to be mahana you. I'm not going to get any hanoah from you. Muda hanoah mechavera, hamada hanoah mechavera. I make a neder, I'm not going to get hanoah from you. I'm a mudr, or I'm a mada. I make a neder, you're not allowed to get any hanoah from me. I can't make a neder for you that you should need bananas. If the bananas are not mine, and I'm not you, I'm not a balabos. But I can make a neder, you should not be allowed to eat my bananas. I have my bananas on the table. I can make a neder, you're not allowed to eat my bananas. Or I can take a net. I'm not allowed to eat your bananas. Okay, I'm a balabas on myself. I'm a balabas on my bananas. I can't make a net for you. You're not allowed to eat your bananas. I have no shaykhs over there.
So the Mishnah. The interview without Torah Shabbat Peh, the guy thought it's
right.
So how does it
sort of manage? So certain parts of Torah Shabbat Peh you have to say, otherwise they'll misunderstand. The Torah Shabbat. So you have to. So that's the question, how far do you go? Well, to what extent would we say it's proper to teach the girls Torah Shabbat Peh? Reb Lezer,
yeah. Which normally we don't follow by
Yehudi. When it's a Machlekes Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua, so we rarely follow Reb Lezer because Reb Lezer Shamuti, he was from the Beis Shammai. But here Reb Yeshua... No, because Reb Yeshua is not disagreeing. Reb Yeshua is supporting him. Reb Yeshua is from the Beis Hillel, so he's supporting Reb Lezer. The one who disagrees is Ben Aza. He never had any children. He wasn't married for too long. He was never married. So we assume he wasn't too keen in this area. He never raised children, so how is he entitled to an opinion? And the two Tanaim who did have children, so they seem to be agreeing that it's not a smart idea. So the mocker for the Ramam that is Nishta Zagifel is not bad at all to teach Torah Shabbat to the women is that Mishnah Nedarim. Mishnah Nedarim talks about if either I took a netter, you took a netter, for some reason or another, you're not allowed to get Hanor from me. And I'm a Malamed. So if I'm going to teach your children and you're going to pay me a salary, Toignish, I'm not allowed to get Hanor from you. But if I'm going to teach your children for nothing, so then I'm not getting Hanor from you. So are you getting Hanor from me? Because I'm teaching your children for nothing. So it's a discussion in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah talks about Malamuhu Bonov of Benoisov Bechinam. I'm allowed to teach your children without charging any money. Malamuhu Bonov Benoisov Mikra. It says, I'm allowed to teach Chumash to your children Bechinam. If I don't charge any money, if I charge money, then you're being Mahana me. If I don't charge money, you're not Mahana. So the Mishnah talks about teaching Bonov of Benoisov Mikra. So they say that's where the Ramam got this idea from. Does state in the Mishnah that you're allowed to teach Torah Shebichsav. What the Tanaim were opposed to was Ani Chochmav Shachanti Yarmo. This Orma comes from learning Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh already brings you, shows you all the ins and the outs and how to dray and how to say exceptions to the rule.
How did the other Rishonim learn that Mishnah? Ramam seems to be very clear on that. On Mabano, how did the other Rishonim learn?
I don't know if the others disagree. Could be that they all. The Rambam states it. I don't know if the other Rishonim disagree. The Shaila is that certain parts of Torah Shebal Peh are integral. You can't understand the Chumash without certain parts of the Torah Shebal Peh. Ayin Tachasayin, other things. Shaila is how much of the Torah Shebal Peh is it proper, how much is improper. So the different policies. Some in Satmar, they were upset that the Mora taught the girls that on Pesach night you have a Kaira. You're not allowed to use the word Kaira. That's Torah Shebal Peh. You have to say you have a Shisel. Another thought that was a joke. You're not allowed to say Akaira, because the Mishnah calls it Akaira. It's not called teaching Torah Shebal Peh. They're just teaching how to prava say the boss. It can't use a Hebrew word.
But women make the bracha last soap with the very sorrow. Does that mean Torah Shebal
Peh? In the Shulchan Aruch, it says that the women who are about to learn, who plan to learn something, should recite the Birchas HaTorah. So the origin, the source of that din, everything in Shulchan Aruch is quoted from earlier sources. So the source of that statement is from the Sefer HaAgur. That was one of the later Rishonim who was after the tour already. The Sefer HaAgur says, we Ashkenazim follow the Bali HaTosfos, that the women say a bracha when they shake a lulav, and the women say a bracha when they sit in sukkah. So if the women, true, the women are not mechuyev to learn Torah, but if they do volunteer to learn Torah, so they say a bracha, just like they say the bracha on Atilos Lulav and on Tkiya Shofar. But the problem is, Rabbi Yosef Karo quotes it. Rabbi Yosef Karo paskins for the Svardim, he paskins women don't say a bracha on the Lulav. So what does he quote this augur for? What does he quote the augur? That's the kasha. So the Vilna Gaon goes back to the sources. He says, it's only according to the Ashkenazim, and the Sfardim, the women by the Sfardim should not say a bracha. So that's against Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo quotes it, and he says all over, the women should not say the brachas. So that's what the commentary is on the side. The Magen Avraham says, no, everyone agrees the women are obligated to learn a certain amount of Torah. The women, we explained, there are two parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's one mitzvah, Lamadatam, the Beis HaLevi explains this at length. There's one pasuk that says, "Lamadatam mosim mishmartam lasosim." You should learn all the dinim in order to know how to observe them. So the women have to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. They have to observe Shatnas. They have to observe honesty in business. They sell Shaitlin. They buy dresses. They sell dresses. They return dresses. They're in business all the time. They go shopping all day and all night. They're returning things all the time. So they have to know all the dinim of honesty in business. So they're mechuyev to learn all the dinim that are negeh to them. A big part of Chosh Mishpah, Hilchas Eidus, Hilchas Dayanus, they don't have to learn. Hilchas Dina Torah, they don't have to learn. But Hilchas Honesty in Business, they do have to learn. Hilchas Taras HaMishpacha, of course, Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Kashas, they have to learn. So then the men, in addition to that mitzvah, L'maratim Mosim, Mishmartim La'asosam, that Liman HaTorah is a Hechsha mitzvah that lead you to observe the additional, the other 612 mitzvahs, there's another mitzvah, Talmud Torah is a mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. That the men have to learn b'hasmada whenever they have free time. Men have an obligation to learn even those dinim that are not relevant to them. Like we said, we live in chutz lords and we still have a mitzvah to learn mitzvah satli is baritz. We're not in Eretz Yisrael, so what do we have to learn it for? So the women who live here don't have to learn. Women who live in Eretz Yisrael have to learn about Afrashas, Trumas, and Mises, because Mises Mechal Yam. They have to know how to be Mafrash, Trumas, and Mises. We who live in Chutzlars, so the women don't have to learn it. The men have a kedima. First, the men have an obligation to learn the whole Kitzu Shulchan Aruch, all of the dinim that are relevant. Whatever the women are mechuyev, the men are certainly mechuyev. Then in addition to that, the men have an additional mitzvah even to learn over and above that, have an obligation to learn even those dinim that are not noeg bizmanazah. And most of the yeshivas in Europe, they used to emphasize the limur, bavakame, bavmitziya, gitin, kedushin, things that are not relevant to halach. So many of the litvish yeshivas, they didn't know Hilchus Shabbos, they didn't know Orachaim, they didn't know Yerideya. They couldn't pass on the Shaila. The joke goes that if they would have a chicken with a broken leg, they would look in Per Ketzer HaRegel. Ketzer HaRegel has nothing to do with a chicken with a broken leg. It's a leitonis. You have a lot of the literature, the big Rosh Yeshiva in Lithuania. They couldn't pass on a Yalav Yav Shaila. They couldn't pass on a Shaila in Hilchus Shabbos, Hilchus Kash. They never learned Lasuk Yishmaitz and Libid Hilchus. That's taka not right. That's whatever the women are mechuyev to learn that should take precedence by the men. Then after covering all of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, after knowing all the dinim that are relevant, so then the men still have an obligation to go above and beyond that to learn even more, but not to substitute. Instead of learning halacha lemaisa, they should learn. That's a big mistake in all the yeshivas. That's a carryover from the litvish yeshivas. Wasn't right in Europe. Brought a big michshol. Chazanish never learned in the yeshiva. The Chazanish was he attacked the whole system of the yeshivas. He was the one who reinstituted that in the yeshivas they should emphasize limud halacha lemaisa. The whole Chazanish, everything is halacha lemaisa. So that's why people find it very boring. He goes into nitty gritty details. When you learn Gemara, you have to know what's the maskana, what are you supposed to do? Do you say, do you repeat the Shemana Esrei, do you not? Is it kosher or is it treif? Chazanish was very makbid about that. And the yeshivas in Europe, the litvish yeshivas, they would hold the highest kavod was for the one who knew how to learn, even if he wasn't so careful about davening. He would daven shachris and upgedavent in 10 minutes. He wouldn't be so careful about davening mincha every day. They didn't care. And the Chazanish thought it was awful. And he succeeded. One man succeeded in changing in Eretz Yisrael. He had such an influence. He changed the whole system in Eretz Yisrael. We don't respect the guy who knows how to say a big pilpul. We only respect him for his learning if he's a medaktik in mitzvahs and he has to know halacha lemaisim. The influence of the Chazanish hasn't yet reached America sufficiently.
Rabbi, if Limud Torah is a mitzvah seishel azman grama, how come we're going to put them?
The Gemara asked that kasha. Limud Torah is mitzvah seishel azman grama. So the Gemara answers because the pasuk says Almarta mosmez b'neichem. And the Mashmoya says, "V'lo b'naseichem." B'naseichem means your sons. It doesn't mean your children. There are many who don't want to learn on Nitl Nacht. They have a tradition not to learn on December 25th Nitl Nacht. So they say from the Ragat Shover, he had a rife in the Gemara that is not correct. Because if you're not supposed to learn on Nitl Nacht, then Talmud Torah would have been a mitzvah sesa shazman grama. So women would have been patur. So from the fact that the Gemara was bothered with your kasha. So you see, you have to learn every day, all day and all night. There's never any time in the world that you putter from leaving at her. That was his raya from the Gemara.
Okay. Women doesn't have to say Berakhus Torah every day, only when she wants to learn?
Women
don't have to say Berakhus Torah every day?
No, it says they only say Berakhus HaTorah when they're about to learn, if they're going to learn something. So the Magen Avraham says that even according to the Mechaber, that women do not say a bracha if they volunteer a mitzvah that they're not obligated to do. But this they are obligated to do. The women are mechuyev to know Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. If they want to brush up and they have a shiur for the women in Hilchus Challah, shiur for the women in Hilchus Kashrus, Hilchus Tefillah. So they have to know that. So if they're going to attend such a shiur, they got to make sure that they said Birchas HaTorah in advance.
Automatically learn, once they make Birchas HaTorah, you have Orechecho, so automatically learn.
Okay.
It's automatic. So okay. You say a bracha every day.
If they want to say Rach Hashem Yishmech, they can say every day.
Yeah, but if good. They say Birchas Kriya Shema, they also yose with the Birchas
Torah. Okay.
Okay. The Chacham Avadia recommends for the Sfardiyot that they should not say Birchas Kriya Shema. The women are potter from Kriya Shema, so the male are the potter from the Birchas Kriya Shema. The Birchas Kriya Shema are to spell out the themes of each one of the three parshiyos of Shema. So the women are potter from Kriya Shema because that is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So they're potter from Birchas Kriyashma. So he says, Mimela, they're not allowed to volunteer. Not only are they not allowed to volunteer the bracha, Shegirishana b'mitzayisu v'tzivanu on the tilas lulav, because not kirishana v'tzivanu, they're not mechuyev, even the Yatzirara v'arichayshech, it doesn't say kirishana b'mitzayisu v'tzivanu. But it's a bracha they're not mechuyev to say. So whenever there's a bracha, you're not mechuyev, so the Sfardim hold you're not allowed to say the bracha. That's what he recommends, the women shouldn't say. Bracha shenet tzvicha, you're not allowed to.
Rabbeinu
Tam writes that Ashkenazim follow the Rabbeinu Tam that may make the bracha. It's recommended if they're already doing the mitzvah, they should say the bracha. Rabbeinu Tam holds that bracha shenet tzvicha is only an issa de rabbanan. That's part of his shtickle teres. And since it's only an issa de rabbanan, and the women are volunteering to do the mitzvah, and if they'll say the bracha on the tilos lulav, this will enhance the kiyum mitzvah, so they're permitted to violate this issa de rabbanan in order to enhance the mitzvah that they're performing. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's argument. And they, in the Sfardim, follow the Rambam, that bracha shenet tzvicha, bracha levatolos, and he said, deraisa. So that's why they say the women should not say. Even if you hold that the women are not mechuyev, the mission said women are not mechuyev in kriyashma, not mechuyev in bichos, kriyashma, but shmona esrei, they are mechuyev in. So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva, he says, liyolim yisadu adem shvacha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'acha kach yispalo. First you should. It's not nice to daven just to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please take care of this, that, and the other thing. Give him a whole shopping list, all the things that I need. You have to say Shevach first. So the first three brachas in the Shemone Esrei constitute the Shevach. You begin with Shevach, and you conclude with Hoidoya, Moedim Anach Noloch. In the middle part of the Shemone Esrei, that's the Tefillah, that's the Bakoshes. To enhance this Kiyum of Liyolim Yisar Adam Shvachu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chakach Yispalo, so we recite Psuke de Zimra in advance. So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva. The women are not mechuyev to say Krishma, and according to the Sfardim, they're not allowed to say the Birchas Krishma, but the Psukah de Zimmer they should say. Dos yet. They should say Baruch Shamar, and Psukah de Zimmer, and Yishtabach, and then they should skip to the Shema Nesri. If you're an Ashkenazi, so say Birchas Krishma also. If you're a Sfardi, even the Sfardim, so the women shouldn't say Birchas Krishma, but Baruch Shamar, and Yishtabach, and the Psukah de Zimmer they should say.
What about Abu Ghaba now?
So that the Sfardim would not say.
They would not say.
And if they want to say Birchas HaTorah, so they'll say Birchas, that says in Shulchan Aruch. They can say Birchas HaTorah. Because they're going to say Psukim Birach Hashem Yishmarecha. Okay, they're going to learn a little bit. Most of them do, yeah. 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 Yeah.
So what's the
seedly
there?
That's a Takanas Chachamim? Yeah.
Takanas Chachamim.
Yeah.
But so it's a Rabbonim, so that Asher Kitchon is. So why?
They make matzah too, no?
So where's.
It would make a matzah.
Matzah de Mechuyev, yeah. Matzah de Mechuyev.
Yeah,
the Gemara says matzah is one of the exceptions to the rule, that even though it says man grammar, we may not Mechuyev in matzah. Right? Right.
Shabbos is the same thing. They have the issue of
not to do malacha.
The
kiddush. The Gemara said because women are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, they mechuyev in kiddush also. Chanukah also they mechuyev. The Gemara said mechuyev to light Chanukah lit. There are more exceptions to the rule. Yeah, vale. There are more exceptions to the rule. Women are basically potter from its successors as man grammar. But there's so many exceptions to the rule, so there are Rambam writes in one place. There are more exceptions to the rule than mitzvahs that fall under the rule. Matzah is an exception, a kiddush an exception, hakel is an exception. It says, hakel is anoshim, anoshim hataf. And the simchas yontav is a machlokes the hatanoim, and a machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid, whether women are mechuyev in simchas yontav or not. And then you have Ner Chanukah is midirabban, and they're mechuyev, and hadlokas Ner Shabbos, and kiddush. And Purim and Arbekaisis and Aseba, there are more exceptions to the rule than there are mitzvahs under the rule. Okay. Okay. Then the Mishnah ends off. Hu haya omer, the Tana Rabbi Shua made a comment. There are a whole group of people who are mevalei oilam. That's on Chof Amar Aleph. We all have an obligation to participate in tikkun oilam. Supposed to do something productive. Some people make highways, some people build houses, some people plant on a farm, they supply the world with food to eat. Other people in economics and banking and whatever, industry, manufacturing, everybody should do something. Yeah, Rabbanim are teaching Torah, so we hope that they're teaching correctly, we hope that they're accomplishing also something in the world. Then there are wise guys who are characters who are just harei elam mevali olam. They're just ruining. They're living off of the fat of the land. They're enjoying olam hazeh, and they're just ruining the world for everybody else because of their shtick. Who are these people? Who are your oimer abshuah flagzogen? There's a whole bunch of categories. A chassid sheita. That's one category. A rosha orim, a sly, clever, wise guy. A isha prusha. Ah, tzadekis, a woman who's a little too frum, fafrumte, umakas prushim. Prushim are usually tzadikim who are parish from everything, and they're bruised. So these categories, how many categories? Chasid Shaita, Rosh Ha'arim, Isha Prushim, Makas Prushim. Four categories. We're always going to have seven categories of Makas Prushim. So a whole bunch of categories. These people are just destroying the world. So the Gemara wants to know, what in the world is he referring to? Who is the Chasid Shaita? And who is the Rosh Ha'arim? So that's going to be the next Gemara. Hu ha'yoyim ha'chasid shayta. And af chafalof him in base in the middle. So the Gemara asks, hechidam ha'chasid shayta. What's an example of a chasid shayta that Rabbi Shua is referring to? So the Gemara keep going. Example, the kotava itza ben nahara. A woman is drowning in the river, and she's wearing a bathing suit. V'yomar, and this tzaddik says, la barachar listakuli bo v'atzula. It's not derech eretz. I should look at a woman. She's not dressed. She's wearing a swimming suit. He's not allowed to look, so he's going to let her drown. So that's a chassid shayta. There's a time and a place to prava midas chassidus. If a person is drowning, so you have to save a life. Okay. Hechidami Rosh Ha'arim. What's an example of a Rosh Ha'arim? A wise guy who knows the halacha and he abuses. He abuses the system. He abuses the system. So they're going to give a few examples. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Each one gives a different example. So Rashi explains over here, there is a pasuk in Chumash, a difficult pasuk. We're not sure exactly what it means. Lo sisa shem ashov. Very difficult. Lo sisa shem ashov. What does it mean? So the Gemara has different levels of interpretation, and we accept all of the levels of interpretation. So one of them is that when there's a din Torah, we go to the dayan, so I'm not allowed to present my version of the case, not in the presence of the other baldin. Because if I'm going to present it not in the presence of the other baldin, I may exaggerate a little bit, and the dayan will already be convinced that I'm right because I presented my everything was 98% true. 99% true. I just put in 1% of a little bit of an exaggeration. The dayan is already convinced. He already made up his mind that I'm right. So even when the other baldin comes and we're going to start the whole din Torah all over again, and I'm going to present my case, the dayan won't realize that I left out the 1%. He already made up his mind that I'm right. And even though I'm going to leave it out and the other guy's going to not disagree with everything that I said, the dayan may not realize his mind is already made up. So that's an iser. You're not allowed to present your version of the case to the dayan, not in the presence of the other dayan. When the Mishnah speaks about a Rosh Ha'arim, he does an aveira in a clever way, and he's getting away with something. So hamatim dvarav ledayin, he gives his version of the case, kodim shiova baldin chaver, not in the presence of the other baldin. So that you're not allowed to do. Today they do it all the time. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, if it's a bezdin of zablo, zeh bar lecha, the taveh picks one dayin, the nitva picks one dayin, and the two dayan pick the third dayin. So it's understood, the minig olam is that each baldin speaks privately to his dayan, and he gives him his version of the story. So if the two balidinim are maskim, you're not allowed to do it because you may cause the other one to lose the din Torah improperly. But if we both made up, let's say we both made up in advance, I give you permission to speak to your dayan in advance, and I'm going to speak to my dayan privately, and the third dayan is going to be totally impartial. He's not going to hear a word till we both come. So if we both made up, so it's not a problem. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that since the minig developed, that when each one picks a dayan, it's a beznav zabar lech and zablo, so each one presents his case privately, shalot b'fnei chaver, to his dayan, so it's kilu hiskimu, as if each tzad was meichel. So that's what, based on this, many batedinim in the New York area say, you can take shoychad bezman hazeh. It's self-understood. Everybody knows that you give your dayan shoychad, and your dayan, if you pay him enough money, he'll scream louder. If you pay him more money, he'll scream louder. When was that? Yesterday, a woman called me up on the phone. I don't know who in the world she was. I don't know where she lives. She has a 718 number. So she tells me she had a hold in Tyre, and she won, but the Bezdin, she tells me the whole Bezdin was ridiculous, everything was ridiculous, and they didn't give the psak on time, and the psak didn't say explicitly how much her neighbor built on her property, 13 inches onto her property. So the psak was very poorly written. So her borer called her on the phone, and he said, if you really want to, if you want me to, I could pressure the dayan, and he'll give you a psak that'll favor you. And he said in such a way, that's what she told me, he said in such a way that she understood that he meant, if he'll pay her enough money, he'll pressure the dayan. So she's asking me, am I allowed to do that? Are you allowed to do that? Of course you're not allowed to do that. So that's what they're about to dinim here in the New York area. So they claim with a straight face, they don't even see what's wrong, just like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the minig is when you have a bezin of zabla, that everybody violates this din of lo siso shem hashov, because everybody's moichel, because I want to speak to my borer privately, and I understand that I want you to speak to your borer privately. Each one should poison the mind of his borer privately. Shalai bifnei baldin chaveiro. So since everybody is moichel, it's self-understood, so it's okay, everything goes, even shoichad is also okay.
Why only in New York area?
I'm not familiar with the rest of the world. I'm sorry that I became familiar with the New York area. It could be it's all over the world. But they'll tell you this with a straight face. Just like it says, so too, you're allowed to take shaykh. That's ridiculous. The din is that a baldin is not allowed to pay his dayan. You have to pay, they can ask for schar batala. But schar batala has to be paid equally by both parties. So strictly speaking, both parties should make out three checks. Let's say you have three dayanim. So both parties should make out the check, half of the schar for dayan A, dayan B, dayan C. So the minig is that each party pays his dayan, and the two parties, instead of each party making out three checks, so one party pays his dayan, one party pays his dayan, and the two parties pay, each one pays a half of the salary of the third guy. So Moshe Feinstein writes, yes, it says in Shulchan Aruch that's permissible if they're all getting paid the same amount. They have to make up in advance how much, and it's understood each one is getting the same amount. But if they didn't make up in advance, and I'm going to pay $5,000 to my borer, he's going to pay only $500 to his borer. So of course my borer is going to scream louder. That's Shoichat. If you pay more money, that's Shoichat. If you made up in advance that everybody's getting paid the same amount, so then it's not Shoichat, then it's Schar Batala. You don't insist, Rav Moshe says.
He's a dayan. He's not a borer. A dayan is supposed to hear the case. He's supposed to have an open mind.
Mm-hmm. No.
So you really made him into like an attorney. I mean,
not impartial.
It's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be like that. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that this din, we assume that everybody's marcha. We assume everybody agrees to that because it's better for my purpose or it's better for your purpose. But this giant leap, the giant step after that, therefore you can take Shoichat also, that doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. And what you have now is Dayanim, my borer, I'll pay him not only for the time that he spends in the Din Torah, he spends hours and hours sitting with me and I'm telling him the whole case, and I call him on the phone, he calls me on the phone, so he charges by the hour. My borer is taking much more money than the other borer. The other borer has no time to play games with his baldin. So he only attends the din Torah. He doesn't get paid for the rest of the time. So that's outright shoichat. If you're paying by the hour, and one side is paying his dayan more than the other side, that's exactly what shoichat is. That's exactly the prohibition. So Rabbi Yechanan says this is an example of a Rasha Orim. The baldin who presents his case to one of the dayanim, not in the presence of the other one, that's an Avera, and that's Rosh Ha'orim. Rabbi Bo gives a different example of a person who's abusing the Halacha Hanois and Dina La'ani, the Hashlam Masayim Zuz. He says this not. There is a magical amount of money that's called Masayim Zuz. What is Masayim Zuz equal to? Masayim Zuz is equal to 50 Shkolim. 50 Shkolim, every shekel has 4 Zuz. So Masayim Zuz was the amount of money that you needed to live on for 1 year in the days of the Tanoim. Today, Masayim Zuz, you probably couldn't even live for a week. Masayim Zuz is very little money. Masayim Zuz is 50 shkolim. So whatever Pidyon HaBen is, times 10 is 50. Pidyon HaBen times 10 is Masayim Zuz.
God, you were supposed to get with two Zuzes,
no? Okay. Okay. In the days of the Tanaim, you can buy a goat.
Huh? How much is Pidyon HaBen?
Okay. That's a Shiloh also. How much is Pidyon HaBen? So how much Pidyon HaBen, strictly speaking, is 96 grams, the value of 96 grams of pure silver. 96 grams of pure silver, the day that silver goes up, silver goes down. Means the day that the child becomes 31 days old. So let's say the person is 80 years old and he knows he never had a pidyon haben. So he has to give the amount of money that when he was 31 days old, he has to find out how much was pidyon haben, how much did silver sell for at that time. That's the Gemara in Perek HaZohar, the first half in Perek HaZohar. Once you establish how much the pidyon haben is, it doesn't change. You don't say, whenever you give pidyon haben, you give 96 grams of pure silver. No, the Gemara says, however much it's worth, you have to establish it. It's usually assumed on Yom Lamed Aleph. On every child you establish on the Yom Lamed Aleph, how much are 96 grams of pure silver in American money, so it stays like that, even if he doesn't give the pidyon haben until 50 years later, till 80 years later, that's how much he gives that amount of money. So now silver happens to be at a high, I think.
So $30
an ounce.
So you have to figure out how much it is. I don't know.
Three ounces times
$90,
$100.
Times $30.
Four. So four times 30, $120. A lot of money. Used to be much less. Used to be way less. Okay, something like $120. Okay. I have a lot of girls. My oldest child is a girl. So I save money. Okay. So this is 10 times that. So 200 zuz is 50 shkolim, is 10 times that. What did we say? $120. So 10 times that is $1,200. So how long can you live on $1,200? 1 week. If you want to sleep in the park and fast every month in a Donishtik, 2 weeks. Okay. How long can you live? So in the days of the Tanaim, Masayim Zuz, that's what it says in Talmud Yerushalm. Masayim Zuz was the amount of money that a person would need to live a whole year long, to cover all expenses a whole year long. That's why the Chachamim established that a ksuba, when a man divorces his wife, she becomes an almana. So they made a takana that he has to give a ksuba. The ikka ksuba is 50 shkolim. Kesev yishkol kamar habesulis, you give 50 shkolim. Vayonis ha-mefata, that corresponds to the amount that she would get for a ksube. There was a minig bizman matan Torah. It's not a din, it's only a din de rabbanu, but that was the minig that they all gave a ksube. So the ksube was Masayim Zuz, because that's enough money that she would need to live for a year, and we hope that in the course of the year she'll find another shidduch and the new husband will support her. So that's also the basis of the din. How do we determine who's an ani, who's an asher, who's allowed to take leket, shikro, pay, or maisa rani? These are matan sanim. So only one who doesn't have in the bank account, who is an ani. So if a person has a steady income, let's say he has no money in the bank, he has no savings at all, but he has a job, he has a steady income. So that person is not called an ani, he's called an ashi. What if he doesn't have any income, he's not employed, he's unemployed. So if he has Masayim Zuz in the bank account or stuffed away in his mattress, wherever his bank happens to be, so if he has Masayim Zuz enough to live on for a year, then he's not called an ani. If he has less than Masayim Zuz and he doesn't have a steady income, so then he's labeled as an ani, so then he's allowed to take lekin shikra peya and maiser ani. So the Mishnah says in peya, hoyalo, the second wide line, hoyalo Masayim chosadiner, he has 199 Zuz. It's, what do you say? Let's say approximately $1,200. He has $1,199.99. He has 1 penny less than Masayim Zuz. So even if there's an opportunity to take leka at $1,000 worth of leka in one shot, he's an oni, he can take everything. Afilo elef nosim lo kachas, harei ze yitol, he can take. So someone sees the situation, and someone goes, gives him a nedava, a nickel. He gives a nickel, he puts it in the pocket of the oni. So tuta groisa mitzvah, he gives him a nickel. Now he ruined him. Now he has a masayim zuz, not allowed to take anything. If he would be missing, so this is a wise guy. He's abusing the system. The poor guy happens to be an ani now, and right now he's entitled to take afilu elef b'vasachas. So this is a rosha arum. This is a rosha arum. You're not allowed to do that. If he's doing business, yeah. Or if he has a steady income, if he has a job, a steady income, even though he has no savings at all, so then also he's not called a nani.
What if the only has 200 zuz and he gives away 10 in order to qualify?
Okay, so then also. That's a shaila. If a person made himself an ani, it's his own fault he made himself an ani. So Taisus and Bava Kama in the first perek, there's a gemara there about a person doesn't have masayim zuz. So it's a question how to read the gemara. So Taisus interprets the gemara that the gemara says if it's my own fault that I became an ani, that I'm not entitled to tzedakah, not entitled to my serani and so on. It's only if it's not my fault. That's the shaila in Eretz Yisrael. They have people, they made up their minds. They don't want to work for a living. It's an avera to work for a living. And they go schnorre geld from everybody else. Are we mechuyev to give them money? I'd also like to retire. I'd like to retire. You support me?
They're good too. You go schnorre.
But many times they grow and say, well, how can he do it? He can always make himself an ani. And therefore he can be kind to him. Many times
the
guy has a terrace like that.
No, the Gemara is... he can be mafker as nechassim. He'll be an ani not to take tzedakah. Be an ani, and ani is allowed to eat demai. An ani doesn't have to be mafresh maisus on demai. Demai is a chumra midirabbanon. It's not even a real din midirabbanon. Demai mina Torah. I buy from the Amoritz. Amoritz, Rov Amoritz did mafresh maisus. And the Amoritz tells me, I ask him, is it gemaisa tzokta? Yeah, it is gemaisa. It's not tevil. So I'm allowed to rely on him because number one, the Rav is Rav Amor Tamaser. Number two, Eidech Adem Bisur. So in the Rabbanon, we learned at the end of Soita, towards the end of the period of the Bai Sheni, they introduced the Kohen Gadol, introduced the Chumra of the Mai, but it's only B'Torah's Chumra. So Aniyim are permitted to eat the Mai; they don't have to be Mafresh Maises. So that even if he made himself an Ani by being Mafker all of his property, he's still permitted to eat the Mai, but he's not entitled to take Tzedakah. That's what Tosfos and Bava Kama interprets in the Gemara. That's a shot of these people. They make up their minds. They don't want to work. So I'm not mechuyev to give him stock. Go get a job. Not mechuyev. That's Rabbi Baron Lichtenstein gave a whole drasha in his yeshiva on Chanukah. So he spoke about this. So this is part of his talk. So he says, just last night, two people came knocking on the door by him. One of them has 10 brothers and sisters, and their parents just got divorced, and they have no parnassus. He's collecting. The other one is married. He has 10 children. Hatnish came parnassus. No one has a parnassus. So he says to the boys in the yeshiva, I think their grandchildren are going to be knocking on the doors of my grandchildren. There's a masar, meaning I have the same with them. No one works for a living, and we should support them. So, strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev. That's not a mitzvah of tzedakah. If the guy makes himself an ani, you're not mechuyev. One of my sons-in-law learned, still learns America's Harav. So he says they once asked Rabbi Avram Shapira. He was very sharp. Rabbi Avram was the Rosh Yeshiva in America's Harav. So they asked him, these aniyim who come snoring every day, they have a whole routine, a whole system. They come all the time every day. Are you mechuyev to give them tzedakah? So he said, no, they have a steady income. Whoever has a steady income is an usher. He was always very clever.
In America too, they come every day. They come every Sunday, every Monday.
So Tosfos interprets the Gemara Bava Kama. If the guy made himself an ani, then there's no mitzvah to give tzedakah.
Tosfos here brings down a case where somebody gave somebody a fruit, so he shouldn't be an ani anymore.
But he has to accept it, doesn't he?
He doesn't accept it, isn't it? Zemar is giving a few cases. Who's a Rasha Orem? Someone who is misusing the halacha system. On the third line, he quotes the name Rabbi Yochanan, Sahamasi Eitzel Limkor Benachosim U'otim. This is based on a Mishnah in Bava Basra. A man dies, and he has sons and daughters. So the Chumash says that the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters do not get the Yerusha. So let's say the daughters are young girls, they're not going to get Yerusha, they're going to starve. The brothers are not mechuyev to support their sisters, so the daughters have to go shnora money. They should be chazer al apsochim. So the Mishnah says that if there's nechasim muatim, if there isn't too much Yerusha, so then you have to save all we don't give the sons any Yerusha at all. You have to save all the money to be mefarnes the daughters until they get married, or until they get older, till it'll be a marriageable age. The sons won't have any money. So let the brothers go beg for the daughters. We shouldn't give the Yerusha. But the Rabbanan, Hefkebez Nefke, they made a takana. You shouldn't give the Yerusha to the sons and have the daughters knock on the doors for the daughters. more bekavadik is, we should be mafka the nechasim and give the nechasim autum to the daughters and let the sons beg for tzedakah. So what happens if the sons went ahead? There's one son or a whole bunch of sons. They all sold the nechasim autum. The father died. They emptied out all the money in the bank account because they're the yorshim and they already spent it. So would Bezdin go and confiscate? How far do you go with the hefka Bezdin hefka? Bezdin would go and take it away from the lekuchas and reverse everything and make them reverse it and give all the mezainas to the daughters. So the Gemara says no. Amar Abbas, Amar Rabbi Yechanan on the fourth line. If you have nechasim merubim, the man died and he left a fortune of money. So you set aside money for all of the daughters till they'll be of marriageable age. They used to get married the younger in the days of the Tanoim. A girl 13 was already an old maid. They used to get married much young. So you put aside money till they reach 12, 13, the normal age to get married. And the sons divide the Yerusha. But Nechasim Uatim, there isn't enough to give to the sons. So we save everything for the daughters. What if the boys go ahead, Umachru, they sold Nechasim Uatim? So Mashem Machr Machr B'Yevet, if they sold it Farfalan, and we don't go so far with the Hefke Bezna Hefke to go take it away from the Lukuchas and to reverse everything back again. So what if I go and I'll tip them off? The father died, then I come to me Menachem Oval and I whisper to the sons, you better hurry up quickly and sell to the father's Nechasim because Bezdin is going to come after Shiva and they're going to confiscate all the assets and they're going to save it for the sisters. You're going to be left with nothing. So they got that's a Din B'Yevet. L'chatchila, you're supposed to observe the takonis bezna hefker, bezna hefker, to save all the money for the daughters, b'nechasim uvatim. So if somebody goes, hamas i'etza, someone recommends to the sons don't know, they're also young, they don't know, the father died. So somebody, gitan etza, limka b'nechasim uvatim, to go make it b'nevid, so that man is a Rosh Arim. He knows the simanim in Shulchan Aruch, that a b'nevid, and he advises his client to do it l'chatchila. So that's a Rosh Arim.
What happens if somebody has a rubim and the sons chop the money away before and then they don't give the girls anything and they're married, let's say? I mean, are they entitled to get the money?
No. The daughters only get money before they get married. Yeah, if they're married, they don't get. It's Shulchan Aruch. They quote, the Ramah wrote in the 1500s and he quotes from the Rishonim who lived a few centuries before him that the daughters will never forgive the father if he doesn't give them any Yerusha. So in the days of the Rishonim, it was good enough they would solve the problem if they would give each one of the daughters chelek chatzi zochar. They calculate each daughter should get a half a share of a son. That's called a shtar chelek chatzi zochar. So the father has to fill out such a kinyan. He has to write such a document while he's helping make kinyanim. Today, the daughters will never forgive the father if they only get a chelek chatzi zochar. So that's what Abshalom Zalman Oyabach and the other Gedolim, they said you better make kinyanim to give the daughters an equal share to the sons, otherwise they'll never forgive the father that he cut them out of the Yerusha. It's a din. But if the father didn't make such kinyanim, then the married daughters don't get anything. The takana only was for the single daughters before a certain age, before the age of 12 and a half. So then you have to support them. And if it's nechasim u'atim, so the sons get no Yerushim in the Rabbanah. But if they went ahead and they sold it, it's b'diyevid, masha asa asa, masha machra machra, and it's farfan. Abayi gives another, each Amar is giving another example. Abayi gives another example. So hamasa yetza limker b'nechasim kereb shimim b'gamblio. There's a din like this. I can make a kinyan, I give you a matana. I give you a matana, I give you a house by matana, I give you an automobile by matana, whatever, so it's yours. It's yours by matana. What if I give you a matana and I say, this house is yours, all of your lifetime, v'achrecha, and after you die, the house should not go b'yerusha to your children, it should go to my next friend. You're my strongest chavrusa.
For the life estate.
Uh-huh. So I say, if after he dies, it should go to another one. So he only has a kinyan lizman. There is such a thing as a kinyan lizman. So he only is entitled to keep it because man is alive. After he dies, it doesn't go b'yerusha to him, it goes to the other. Achrecha goes to the other person. So what happens if the first person, he has a right to use the house as long as he's alive. So he uses the house, he sells it to a third person, a totally different stranger. There's no more house. So by the time he dies, there's no more house. So what's the din? So that's a machlekes hatanoim. So we pass on like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya, that's the fourth line from the bottom. Nechasai loch, I write a shtar, and I give you the shtar, a matana. Nechasai loch, I give the assets to you, a house, a field, a farm, whatever, an automobile. And after you die, shouldn't go to your Yorshim, should rather go to a different person. And then the first guy goes ahead, not that he uses the house or the automobile as long as he's alive, goes ahead and he sells it. What's the din? So when the first guy dies, there's no more house, there's no more car, it's not there anymore. So the second guy gets nothing, or does he have a right to take it away from the lekeach?
Does the second guy have a star, maybe?
Yeah, the second guy has a star.
So is the star enforceable in Beis Din?
Yeah, but the question, how do you interpret the shtar? The shtar says it belongs to you. As long as you live, you can use it. And let's say I give you an automobile. And the automobile, you survive, you live longer than the automobile. The automobile plots as after 50 years. You're still alive till the age of 120. So there's no more automobile. Zacharecha gets nothing. That's the question. Is it, strictly speaking, is it a violation? I gave you the ownership as long as you're alive. So ownership... So that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel thinks. He was permitted to sell it. As long as he's alive, he's the balabas, he can do whatever he wants. It's not right, because it doesn't seem that that was the intention of the Nisein. The Nisein meant that the Sheni should get something also. But nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, strictly speaking, it doesn't say that in the Shtar. That's probably the intention of the one who gave the gift, but it's not so clear. So he says, "Hasheni motzi mi'ara lekuchas diri Rebbe." Rebbe says, "Dachrecha, I say you own it while you're alive, and after you die, goes to so and so, and you go and went ahead and you sold it." So Rebbe says the second party can go to the lekech and take it away, and we don't paskin like Rebbe. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the father of Rebbe. A lot of times, my colleagues, Rebbe and his father, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. There's a din kibud aviyem, you're not allowed to argue with your father, but in halacha you are allowed to argue. You're not allowed to argue about who's going to win the election. What's the big difference who's going to win the election? My father insists it's going to snow tomorrow, and I say, no, it's not going to snow. What's the difference? If it snows, I'll put on boots. It's not going to snow. Nish, don't argue about it. Not allowed to argue if it's irrelevant. But if it is relevant, my father's going to tell everyone they should vote for Pliny. And I hold that's a disaster, and I'm afraid they're really going to listen to my father. So I have a chiyuv to get up and say, if they'll listen to me, if I'm afraid they're really going to, bank cover code, they're not going to listen to my father, they're not going to listen to me, so the whole thing is irrelevant. So don't argue with your father. Cholak al dvarav is a violation of Moira Aviyem. But if I'm afraid they will listen to my father, and I think they will listen to me, if I'll be cholak olav, and it is relevant, it will be a disaster if Pliny wins the election, so I'm a chiyuv to get up and disagree. So I'm learning also. Rebbe disagrees with his father. He says, no. Rebbe holds... Hasheni moitzi mi'ara lukuchas. The acharecha gets it from the lukuchas, and we paskal like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ein l'sheni l'mashishir harishon. Since the rishon sold it, so the sheni gets nothing. But it's not really right. It's not certainly. It's not right for the rishon to sell it. It seems to be in violation of the intention of the nisei. So that's what the Gemara says. Abay Yomar, the line before Abay Yomar, Hamasa yetsa limka bin achasim. The clever dayan, or the clever lawyer, who recommends to the Rishon, go and sell it. So you don't like Acharecha, you don't like the second guy, you don't want him to get anything. So go sell the automobile, go sell the house. That'll be the end. You'll get all the money, and the money will go be Rusha to your children. And once you sell the automobile or the house to the other fellow, so the Sheni doesn't get anything. So to tell this Chochma, to tell this Eitza, to the Rishon, that's not proper. That's called the Rosh Ha'orim. He knows the secrets.
Why is he a Russian?
Because it is Oibral Das Balabayas. It was clearly not the intention of the Noisen Hamatona. It's clear that he wanted the second one to get it. But strictly speaking, didn't write it in the Shtar. So Lechatchila, it's also because Oibral Das Balabayas Nikra Gazlan. But if he went ahead and he sold it, so we pass him like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So you're not allowed to. This is what the Toynim do all the time, and it didn't turn. The Toynim act like a Rosh Ha'orim. They tell their party secrets in Choshen Mishpat that they should never know, and they tell them how to win the case. A Dintur is not supposed to be. Neither party should be interested in winning. The party should be interested in finding out what the din is. If the din is that you're not entitled to win, so you shouldn't win. The Gemara has a discussion. You see a chiddush that there's such a thing as a kinyan l'zman. I give you the ownership of the field, the ownership of the automobile, as long as you're alive. and then after you're no longer alive, doesn't belong to you. So there's such a thing. What about Hefkelizman? Let's say the Gemara in the Dorm has a case. I rented my behemoth to my Goyish next door neighbor, and then I realized, I'm away in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos, then I realized he's going to be doing Malacha with my behemoth on Shabbos, and that's my violation of Shvisa's behemta. My behemoth is being used by my Goyish neighbor. The Goy is not violating any other, but the owner, the Yiddish owner of the behemoth, is a violation of Shvisa's behemta. So what can he do? So if he calls up long distance and he asks the Goy, please don't use the animal, okay, so if the Goy won't, it's good. What if he doesn't have his phone number? He can't reach the Goy. So the Gemara says, you're stuck on Erev Shabbos, what do? The Gemara says, be mafke the behemoth. Mafke the behemoth, so somebody may be zeichem and a hefker by the time I'm coming back from Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, be mafke the yoy mechot. Make it hefker for one day. If the Shabbos is over, then it reverts back automatically to me. Just like I can give nechas elecha v'achrecha l'ploini, so it only belongs to you for a period of time. There's a kinyan l'zman, so too there's a hefker l'zman. And hefker l'zman is up, then it's no longer hefker. It basically reverts back to me. Yeah, Chomet, so why do we have to sell? So that's what. Why not sell to the guy for 8 days? Why not sell? Why do we sell the Chomet to the guy, then we buy it back? Why don't you just sell it to the guy for 8 days, and when the 8 days are up, so whatever is left, whatever he ate up is good. Whatever is left reverts back automatically. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, there's a long Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Pesach, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the institution of Mechiras Chomet. It was basically developed in the 1800s. Mechiras Chometz was basically developed at the time of the Ktzais with the Nesivos. That's when it became very popular. In the days of the Tanaim, they only had Mechiras Chometz with people who were traveling on a boat. A guy traveling on a boat, he's going to be on the boat for 2 months. So he has to have all the food with him. Where else is he going to get the food from? And he's going to throw out the Chometz. He's going to sell the Chometz to the guy. He's not going to get it back. So he's going to starve. He's going to die from starvation. So the Tosefta says, a guy's on a boat, let him sell the chametz to the guy, and he'll buy it back after Pesach. But the practice that we have now, everybody fashibes the chametz with the rabbi. Rabbi sells everybody's chametz, and after Pesach he buys it back. That was basically developed in the 1800s. The Nesivos was the one. He wrote the tshuva. Ktzais and Nesivos were contemporary. He wrote the tshuva. He said there's nothing wrong with the practice. They used to sell, they didn't have spaghetti Louis Cap. They didn't have freezers. They didn't have refrigerators. So they couldn't. So what could they have? So they used to have chametz that they fed to the behemoths. They used to feed chametz to the schnapps. They had that was schnapps was always a problem, right? And then the farmers used to feed chametz to the behemoths. I don't know if they still feed chametz now. They probably feed hay, but they feed the corn on the cob, maize. But years ago they used to feed real chametz. So they used to sell the behemoth to the next door neighbor guy. And sell the chametz to the guy, and instruct the guy he should feed the chametz to the behemoth so many times a day, and so on and so forth. So many gedolim were opposed to that. They held that that's not permissible. And the Nesivos wrote that there's nothing wrong. Even though it's a haram, he said that there's nothing wrong. And that's what was accepted over the years. So you have, so the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Pesach quotes that this is a machlokes between the Ktzais and the Nesivos. It's two opinions in the Tshuvas HaRosh that the Nesivos quotes. Is it okay if you sell the chametz to the guy for the duration of the 8 days of Pesach? So you, not that you sell it lachlut and then you buy it back after Pesach. I sell it for 8 days. There is such a thing as a kinyan l'zman. So half of the rishonim, half the achronim hold that it is good. Because the others hold that it's no good, you still have a shaychus with the chametz, because after Pesach it's going to go back to you. That's still a violation of Bal Yirah. So that's why you have to, we are makpid, you have to sell it lachalutin, and then you buy it back after Pesach. But he quotes it was machlokes, the Ktzais and the Nesivos, which opinion in the Tshuvas HaRosh to accept.
But isn't that the case all the time, like when you sell a sod that goes back in Yovel? It's
sod in Eretz Yisrael, yeah.
But is that Kinyan Bizman also?
That's a big dion in Achreinim. When you sell a field in Eretz Yisrael, it's a field. Is it a Mechir Liyon Avoid and Yovel is Afkaita de Malka? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech and he's Mafkir the Kinyan when it comes Yovel. What do you say? No. The Kinyan Lachatchila was only for 50 years. It's not that Yovel is Mafkir later. It was never a Kinyan Leon Avoid. So that's a discussion in Achreinim. How are you supposed to view it?
But there is a way, though, you can buy Pets Yovel. If you sell it for a number of years and it goes Pets Yovel, it's a good Mechir, no?
Very questionable. There's a discussion in the Rishonim on Bava Metzia. I think they assume that it's not. That Yovel will still get a cancel. By Shemitah, there's a din like that. If I lend you a halvoah for 10 years and Shemitah comes to a close, so I had no right to collect it yet. So Shemitah only cancels the debt. Shvis Meshamet is B'Seifa. Shemitah cancels the debt that I have a right to collect. But if you have the halvoah for 10 years, when Shemitah came to a close, I had no right to collect it anyway. So that's a way to bypass Shemitah's Ksofim. But to bypass Yovel, I think the Rishonim say in Bava Metzia, you can't bypass Yovel. Says Vards Lasimachal it's Mises Kili Kol Hards. Baruch Shalom says, I'm the Balabas. You can't make any tonight. By the Havas it doesn't say that. It says Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Baruch Shalom says Kili Kol Hards. So all the dreidlach you want to make are not going to work. That's how the Rishonim say. So this is a shaila. If there's such a thing as a kinyan lizman, I give you ownership for during your lifetime for 8 days, and then it reverts back to me. There's such a thing as hefker lizman. So what about a marriage lizman? Let's say we'll get married for a year, and at the end of the year, the marriage should be bottling, so there should be no need for a get.
The Muslims have for a day.
Oh, yeah?
So this
is a Gemara in the Dorim. So Gemara in the Dorim says, no. If you magdish something, Kedushas Haguf, so Gemara says, Kedushas Haguf lo poka bichdi. Let's say, Hareza Oila Lamed Yoim. This animal should be a carbon oila for the next 30 days. So if you makrev it in the middle of 30 days, it's an oila. What if you wait till after 30 days? So do you say the Kedushas Oila vanishes into thin air, it disappeared by itself? So the Gemara says, no. The Kedushas Haguf lo poka bichdi. Kedushas Haguf cannot disappear into thin air. So the Gemara says, marriage is also a concept of Kedusha. The Gemara uses a lishnan de rabbanon harei mekudeshesli. That's a lishnan de rabbanon. But the concept is assumed to be a concept deraisa, that in marriage there is an element of Kedusha. So that's a Gemara in the Dorim, on Daf Lamed. The Avdi Miluim is by the Ktzais HaChoshen on Ebenezer. So every 30 pages he always quotes that Ran in the Dorim with the Gemara in the Dorim, that marriages, Kedusha is like Paka Birdi. He answers all of his kashas with that Gemara in the Dorim. That marriage, you can't have a marriage lizman. This is a very strange. In Shulchan Aruch Aben Ezra, you have the dinam of Yibam Machalitza all the way towards the end, almost at the end of the Shulchan Aruch. So there's a very strange discussion in the Knesset HaGdailah. He writes a Maisa Shahoya. A man married a woman. He said, Haret Mekodesh Asli L'Shloshim Yom. Then he died in the middle of the 30 days. So there's the. So she was married, and they had no children, obviously. They just got to know each other. He died before he had any children. So is there a need for chalitza? So he discusses if he'll do chalitza within the 30 days, can he do the chalitza after the 30 days, a whole discussion. What's the late cup? He says, Amaisa Shahoya, and he has a whole discussion. It's an offering Gemara. Yes, like Kedusha Guf. He doesn't quote the Gemara. The whole discussion is against the Gemara. Mar said beferish. Say Harei Mekudesh Asli L'Shloshim Yom. Says Kedusha Zavguf like Paka Bechdi. She remains married for the rest of his life. It's not Paka after the 30 days. The whole discussion that he has is out of place. Pesach is the Mishnah Berurah has a long bir halacha and he quotes a machlokes the Ktzos and the Nesivos, which is a machlokes in the Tshuvos HaRosh. Is that acceptable or not? If you sell a chametz for 8 days. So some Rishonim and Achronim hold, fine, no problem, there's no Bayur or Baymat. And others say, no, since automatically it's going to go back to me, so I still retain a shtickel ownership. It means, right, so we don't do it. That's called, who has the Kenyan Agu, who has the Kenyan Peiris? So if after 8 days it goes back to me, it means that I still own the Kenyan Agu. If the guy owns the Kenyan Peiris, he has a right to eat it now, but I own the Kenyan Agu. So it's still my violation of Bayur or Baymat. That's the machloikis and the Tshuvos HaRosh, and the machloikis, the Ktzos and the Nesivos, how to pass. So the Mishnah Berurah says that we're machmer on that. The Minigalim said you sell the chametz lachalutin, and after Pesach you buy it back. You don't sell it just for 8 days. So this din, that you can have a kinyan lizman, and you can have hefker lizman, this is Gemaris. But you can't have hegdish lizman, Behemazu oila kol lamed yom. See, after the lamed yom are up, it doesn't lose its kedusha soila. The Gemara says kedusha guf like Paka Bichdi.
Rabbi, maybe it's law mar klum, so he didn't say anything. It's not chal. That lush is in violation.
No. The Gemara says it is chal and it remains.
It is chal.
That's what the Gemara says. Yeah, the hegdish remains and remains li'alam. The kiddushin is chal and it remains li'alam. That's the maskonas ha-Gemara. So these are all examples of a Rasha Arum. They gave examples of dinim amanus. The first example was a din Torah, and I'm talking to the dayan shlo b'fnei chaveri, so I'm going to win the din Torah improperly. I'm going to poison the mind of the dayan. I'm going to convince him that I'm right. The other case, I make it impossible for the ani to take any tzedakah. The third case, I recommend to the yisoyimim they should sell a karka dreidel, so the sisters won't get anything. That's not right. He's a Rasha Arum. That's not right. He shouldn't tell the children this din. The other case was Limka bin Achasim, all these cases. The next one says, what do you have to interpret a Rasha Arum in Choshen Mishpat and Dini Mamanis? There's a Rasha Arum in other areas of Shulchan Aruch. Rav Yosef Bar Choma, Omer Rav Shesh, is two lines from the bottom. He says, so I'll give you another example of a Rasha Arum. A wise guy who nars up the Gan Zoylem to think that he's such a holy tzaddik, when no one's watching, he does all the averis. But because no one's going to watch him so carefully, he puts on such an act that he's such a holy tzaddik, so everybody thinks, ooh, he's machmer and everything, and the guy's in violation of everything. Unfortunately, we have cases. So he says, Zaha machriya acherim b'yor choysof. He tells everybody, just watch the way I do things, and that's the way you do the mitzvahs. This is the correct way. So that people think the guy cracks himself up to be such a holy tzaddik, such a big talmid chacham, so they won't be checking after him. That's how Rashi writes. The last line of Rashi, Shalai Daktu Acharab Livdik B'Torah Boisav. People think such a holy rabbi, he can't do anything wrong. And behind their backs, when no one's watching, he's doing Aved. That's also a Rosh Ha'orim. Then the Gemara has a similar thing. Rab Zreiko Amar Rav Huna Zeh HaMeik Ali Atzmo O'machmer Lo Acherim. Sometimes you have Balabatim Es Shalos of the rabbi. So he says, Mutter, it's Mutter. He himself wouldn't be Meikal. Okay. The Amidas Chassidus, he doesn't want to be Meikal. But sometimes he has Fakert. The rabbi is Machmer and everything, Machmer. And he himself is a faker. He's Mezalzal on everything. Not that he knows it's really Mutter. Sometimes he really knows that it's Mutter, but he can't tell the Heter to the Balabatim because it'll cause a Michshol. They won't understand. But we're not talking about that. We're talking the guy is just a hypocrite. He makes believe that he's a big Machmer and he really is a violation of everything. He's a Meikali Atzmo. That's a Rasha Orem. Ula Omar, Ula gives another example. It doesn't have to be in Yeridea either. He says, Zeh, who's a Rasha Orem? Zeh Shekara Bishana, a person who knows Tanakh is Mikra, Kara. Bishana, he learned Bishnayas, that's the top line of Chav Beis. Ula Shemesh Talmide Chachamim, and he didn't spend time learning Gemara, getting the tradition from the Rabbeim to know when the Mishnah applies and when the Mishnah doesn't apply. It's not so easy to learn Mishnayas. We have now the Bar Tanura, so he'll tell you we don't pass like this Mishnah. Or he'll tell you the Mishnah only applies in such a case. It doesn't apply Bizman Azef for whatever reason. But if you just have Mishnahs, you don't have a Bar Tanura, you don't have a Taisis Yantif, you can be totally misled. You'll think that every din in the Mishnah is accepted La Locha. You'll have a lot of times in Machlekes you don't know how to pass, and the Bar Tanura is kind enough to tell you we do pass like Rab Shimon, we don't pass like Rab Shimon. He guides you. So in the days of the Tanaim, they just had Mishnahs. So one who's Korah Vishana, he knows Tanakh and he knows Mishnayos, but he doesn't have a strong tradition of Gemara to know the ins and the outs of the Mishnayos. So he, Ula, refers to such a person as a Rosh Ha'orim. What's so terrible, Rosh Ha'orim? He's going to paskin to other people. So if he doesn't paskin to anybody else, so good, so mind your own business. Nishkin Rosh Ha'orim? So he's not learned, so what? No. But he holds it, he's so learned it, and he's going to paskin to others, he's going to paskin incorrectly. So that's called the Rosh Ha'orim. Now the Gemara goes into such a discussion. Itma, we have a whole discussion. Kara b'shana v'leshimish tamicham. How bad is it? The fellow knows all of Tanakh. He's 15 years old. He learned Tanakh between the age of 5 and 10. Then he learned Mishnayos at the age of 10 and 15. He's following the schedule in the Mishnayos. And then he's a dropout. He never went past 15. He never got to learn Gemara. But he knows all of Tanakh and he knows all the Mishnayos. But he doesn't know Gemara, so he doesn't really know the ins and the outs. So how nasty a name do we stick on him? How bad is he? So the first Tana says, Rab Lezer, Rav Lozer. Rav Lozer, I'm there. Hareze Am Ha'aretz. We call him an Am Ha'aretz. What are you entitled to if you're an Am Ha'aretz? What are the special halachas of an Am Ha'aretz? So Rashi says, Choshen ala Maisris v'ala Taharis. Yeah. What else? There's a Gemara. Amaretz also lechel basa. Yeah, there's a Gemara. Not allowed to eat flesh. Yeah. What else is a din of Amaretz? Tosis quotes. You see the Tosis Kol Sheni Kari Kriya Shema. So Tosis quotes from Sochem Daf Mem Tes. Shishad Varem Nemer Bamaretz. There's six dinim. So one of the six dinim is Emekabel Mehemedes. You can't trust them for Hagadah Seidus. The Gemara says in Chagiga Chabez the next line. That the minig is that we do accept Haggadah Seder from Haaretz. So the Gemara says, Kema mekabla sahadusa meyam Haaretz. It means, in the days of the later Amaroim, they added on lines to the Gemara. Whenever it says Ha'idna, I think the Lashon Gemara then, Kema mekabla sahadusa Ha'idna meyam Haaretz. Today, in the days of the later Amaroim, we do accept testimony from Haaretz. We follow Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you can't make such a din with the Rabbanan that you can't accept Haggadah Seder from an Am Ha'aretz. You're going to say, we're not going to accept Eidus from an Am Ha'aretz. He's going to make his own religion. That's the Shaila. The Chasam Sofer has a discussion about the Reformed Jews. So he considers them Kor Vishon of Elashim Mishtam Ircham, considers them Am Ha'aretz. So the Gemara says he can't be Mitzarif him to bench Mezuman and Am Ha'aretz. The Gemara Bracha says you can't be mitzarif from the bench mezuman. The Gemara Tosis says there, but just like the Gemara says in Chagiga, we follow the Tana Rabbi Yosi that we are mekabeladus from the Amoritz. Shelo yehei kol echad v'elachel chabana b'maliatzmo. So Tosis said the same is true. We would be mitzarif in Amoritz the bench mezuman, but the same concern. Shelo yehei kol echad v'elachel chabana b'maliatzmo. So the Chasam Sofer says, but the Reformed Jews already were b'ina b'maliatzmo. They already made their own seminary, their own smicha, everything their own. So he says the whole reasoning for Rabbi Yossi doesn't apply. So we revert back to the dinim of Am Ha'aretz. So he says you have to treat the Reformed Jews like the Am Ha'aretz before Rabbi Yossi's takana. Rabbi Yossi said you shouldn't have these takanas. That was the shaila whether the Chasam Sofer was right or not. So many claim that if Rabbi Saul Salanta would have been there, he probably would have dealt with them differently. But he wasn't there. The Chasam Sofer was there. So that's the way he fought against the Reform. He said, you got to treat them, you got to be machik them, everything. Got to treat them like Am Ha'aretz without the kula of Rabbi Yossi. That Tosis quotes. Yeah. So Nachamal. So the first Tana is Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer says, how do you consider a person, Kore Vishona, he knows Tanakh and he knows Mishnayos, but he doesn't know Gemara, and he doesn't care. The Chazon Ish writes in one place. He says, Am Ha'aretz is like the Amalagim Maskilim in Europe, that they knew a little bit, and they weren't interested in what the rabbis had to say. They decided that they know enough. They know how to keep the mitzvahs well enough. They don't care what the rabbis have to say. So that's this person, Kor Vishon of Lashim Shtein, is not interested. He's able to pass Kanshadas without the rabbis. So Reb Lozer says, that's the status of Am Ha'aretz. He's Choshed Ala Maisris, Choshed Ala Taris, Am Ha'aretz is Metame. And you can't be mitzarif him to bench mezuman, and you can't be mekabeladus and so on, unless you follow Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, okay, that's a concern. And if that consideration doesn't apply, like the Chasam Sofer claims, then he has the full din of Am Ha'aretz. The next Tana disagrees, it's worse than Am Ha'aretz. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeinah Amar, he's a boor. Is there any special halachic category boor? No, boor is an Am Ha'aretz, but Am Ha'aretz square. But no, no special nafkamina lalacha. The next Tana says, no, it's worse. Abyanam hareza kusi. So Rashi says, that's already higher madrega. A lower madrega, I mean. Higher quota. That's a bigger madrega. That's worse. What's his kusi? So Rashi says, also lechel pita v'yenai. They made gzeira pasakum and stam yenam. So they made... It's not even included in the Gzeira. Tosis and Gittin says this preceded the Gzeira and Pasakum. They made a Gzeira and Paskusi and Yenkusi. That you're not allowed to drink Yenkusi, you're not allowed to eat Paskusi. So the fellow who's Kore Vishonu Veloshimish Tamir Chachamim, we treat him like a Kusi, that according to the third Tana, that his Yain is Asa and his Pas is Asa. The next Tana says we call him a dirty name, but it doesn't. It's not relevant to Halacha. Rabbacha b'yankivama hareze magush. We consider him like a chay v'chaver, like a magician, like one who's in violation of kaisim tzamim, menachesh, and so on. But that doesn't have any halachic relevance that we call him a magush. It's a kusi.
Not really mafashik. Okay,
see,
I was like, I've covered
my
magicians,
so
they just
yeah. Well, plain magician is a question. Is it also to do magic or not?
Right.
So the Tefreso HaMishnais writes that is muta. The only magic that's also is the real magic, real black magic. The Rambam says no such thing as real magic. So according to the Rambam, I'll be pashtus, when the Torah says you're not allowed to do magic, it means magic, our magic. So that's what the Chochmas Sodom complains about. That for entertainment, the Chassanis in Europe, it was... Al-Tzal lived a long time ago. He said a hesped when the Vilna Gaon died, the late 1700s. He was a mechutna in the Vilna Gaon, he writes. And he was a dying in Vilna. He said a hesped then. So he writes that for entertainment, at chasanis, they used to have magicians. They used to do plain magic tricks. And he says, according to the Rambam, it's awesome. Chacham Avadya is very strong about that. You're not allowed to do magic tricks. The Rambam.
Possibly Aedes.
Yeah, if you violate an aver, you possibly latest. So the Gemara has all these negative things to say about the one who's kar v'shana, v'loshimish tamir ha-chachamim. And each Tana says worse. Some of them say it's worse than halacha. Kusi is worse than an amar. It's a boor, al-pidin, is not worse than a kusi. It's just a dirty name. And the magush is not worse than a kusi. It's just a nasty name. We mevazah him, but it doesn't change the halacha. But the Amharitz has halachic status, and the Kusi has a negative halachic status. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Amnach Ma'itzel Mistabekar Avacha Bayainkif." I think that the last Tana is correct, that we should consider this fellow, the one who's Kor V'Shana V'Lashimish Taminech Hakamim, I should consider him like a magician who does black magic, that they pronounce mumbo jumbo, they pronounce incantations, and they don't know what it means, and it doesn't mean anything. And they think that they're doing magic. Because what does the guy do? The guy zoktib et Tanakh. He knows Tanakh, knows Mishnah, but he doesn't know what it means. Because if he doesn't know Gemara, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So it's like mumbo jumbo. Someone rattles off psukim in Tanakh, and he rattles off Mishnah Baal Peh, but he doesn't know what the Gemara, he doesn't know the ins and the outs. He doesn't know the Bar Tanur on the Mishnah, doesn't know whether they do paskin or don't paskin, doesn't know under which conditions. So that's like a magician. So that's what he says. I think that the last Tana is right. That the one who knows Mishnais and does know Gemara is like a magician. The magush, the magician, pronounces mumbo jumbo. He's abracadabra. And he doesn't know himself what he's saying. So, Tony, just like the magician, says incantations, he does know what he's saying. So to the fellow who recites Mishnayis, Tani Tana Veloyada Mayama. He says over Mishnayis and he doesn't really understand it. He doesn't know when yes and when no. So it's like abracadabra. That's what he's making fun. So he says he thinks that the last Tana hit the nail on the head, that's we should describe such people with such a negative description. Then the Gemara, once they were mentioning already that the one is Kor Vishana. So the first Tana says, that's the low, that's the lightest level, the most kal. We say that Amaritz, and each Tana adds on worse and worse and worse and worse. So once we're talking about Amaritz, so we want to know, talk about what's the definition of an Amaritz? Who is an Amaritz? It's Choshed Al HaMaisvis, and we'd consider him like he's Tomei, and we can't be Mitzar from Tebench Mezum, and it can't be Mekabalei. Who is it? Tan Rabban. Is there Amaritz? Who is entitled to such a classification? Kol sheni kari kriyashma shachris avos. Person doesn't daven. Kol sheni kari kriyashma bebirchasay. Doesn't daven the Reb Meir. V'chachamim amrim, even if he does daven, kol sheni menich tefillin. He doesn't like tefillin. Even if he davens a little bit on a train every day when he goes to work, but he doesn't like tefillin. There's also an amart. V'nazayama kol sheni lo tzitzis bebigdi. He has to wear tzitzis also. Even if he likes tefillin, but he doesn't wear tzitzis teignish. What do you mean doesn't wear tzitzit? It means he wears a four-corner garment. He doesn't wear tzitzit. He doesn't wear a four-corner garment. Not mechuyev. We have a midas chasidus. We go out of our way. We put on a four-corner garment in order to be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzit. But that's a midas chasidus. That's what the Balei HaTosfos had a dispute about that. Is that the right way to go or not? That was, I think we must discuss it. At the end of the first parak in Sota, the Gemara asks, "Mipneiman is Saba Moshe Rabbeinu? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want so much to enter Eretz Yisrael? Chilechom the period with his boy Amituva, he wanted to eat the Paris Eretz Yisrael." Gemara says, "No, Elo, he wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs of Tliyas Bara." That's the Gemara at the end of the first parak. So the Rishonim, the Balei Tosfos, point out in Menachos, if you live in Chutz Lo'etz, you don't have the mitzvah. So why did he desire? So the answer is no. A real tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu should go out of his way to put himself in a situation to be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Balei Tosfos say, Mikan, you see, the proper practice should be, you should buy a four-corner garment, go out of your way to put on a four-corner garment in order to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis. So other Balei Tosfos say, Achutzpah, who do you think you are, Moshe Rabbeinu? When you'll be on the Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, then it makes sense that you should go out of your way to buy a four-corner garment. You are nobody. You're not such a holy tzaddik. You're not such a big time chacham. So it's a chutzpah, aderab, it's mechzik yuhara if you go out of your way. Some Sephardic communities had such a minhag that only the Rabbanim wore a talis and arba kainfa, and the Balabatim didn't wear. I have a relative in Eretz Yisrael, an uncle of my son-in-law from Eretz Yisrael. So he said, in the Al Tehaim, I don't know, he came from Morocco or somewhere over there, he said, only the Rabbanim wore talasin. But then when they came to Eretz Yisrael, so they're embarrassed to maintain their minhag because everybody else is going to call them shkotzim. So now they gave in, they already gave up all of their Alta minhag. But he says, in the Al Tehaim, he remembers, before they moved to Eretz Yisrael, they felt it's only people like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the other opinion in Tosis.
Well, you were in Morocco, that's the Tana who didn't wear
big
with the rounded corners.
Right. Right, because that, he went out of his way to pata. Right. The normal thing was normal people wore a four-corner garment, so he went out of his way to pata. But bizmanes and nobody wears. Normal people, goyim, don't wear four-corner garments. So we go out of our way, yes, to put on. So that's the 2 days in Tesis. Is that the proper practice? So this means the fellows in Amoritz, Elo Tzitzis, big, that means he's wearing a four-corner garment, and he doesn't put on tzitzit, he doesn't wear it, he can't consider him an amoritz. If he wears a four-corner garment, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah tzitzit, that's called an amoritz. The next time it says, no, he's not an amoritz unless kol sheyesh labonim beinim megadlan lil matar. He said, even if he, years ago in America, there used to be people, they would learn Gemara, they belonged to the Chevra Shas, and they would daven, they would heat up kashrus and Shabbos, but they didn't send their children to yeshiva. You have to be Americans. They didn't realize it's going to be a churban. So kol she'ena megadol, ena megadol lo matara, even though he himself is very learned in everything, we label him with the status amoritz. And acherim omrim, the other Tana says, afilu kor v'shanim l'shemish tamin chachamim, zeo amoritz. Even if he learned Tanakh and he learns Mishnais, but he doesn't know Gemara, and he's from everything, it's also called an amoritz. So the Gemara says, what if he's not lower than that madra? What if he's kor v'loshon? What if he only knows Tanakh, he doesn't know Mishnais? So we got to dig up a title for him. The other guy's an amoritz. We have to give him a worse title. Harez Abur. That's worse. And what if he's lower than that? What if he doesn't even know Tanakh? So you got to dig up a worse title than that. Das is Tama Behema, the Gemara says. What if Loi Kor V'Loi Shono? He does know Tanakh and he does know Mishnais. So we got to dig up a worse title. Olav HaKasav Eimer, Zera Behema. That the Jewish people will consist of Zera Odom and Zera Behema. Some of them will be human beings and some of them will be behemoths. So he says the behemoths, that's a reference to the people who don't learn Torah at all.
We already said who are according to one of the opinions for the guy who does learn.
Yeah. Different opinions, different Tanoim. Yeah. Different Tanoim. In this week's Sedra, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, who is sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deliver a Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael and to deliver a Nevuah to Paro Melech Mitzrayim. That he should let the Bnei Yisrael go free. So he says, they're not supposed to believe me. The Rambam quotes from the Gemaras, a person comes and he says he's a Navi, so you're not supposed to believe him. He has to first establish himself as what we call a Navi Muchzok. He has to demonstrate that he's a Navi. How do you demonstrate you're a Navi? You have to show some osus and opsum. You have to show some unusual things, some nisim and a flaws or something. Once he demonstrates, then every week, every month, every year comes with another nevuah. Every time he has a new nevuah, he doesn't have to bring another osam ofes. He's already had been established as a Navi Muchzok from before. But the first time he has to establish himself as a Navi Muchzok. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, they're not going to believe me. They're not supposed to believe me. How can I prove that I'm a Navi? So the Baruch Shalom says, I'm going to give you the three simanim. The one simon, the stick, is going to turn into a nochesh, then it's going to turn back into a mata. The other simon, his hand is going to turn into negat tzara, is going to revert back. And then the third simon, the water is going to turn into blood. So when you have a plain Navi, a man comes and he says he's a Navi, and a Navi delivers a nevuah, hayruashah. Nevuah means a hayruashah. You should do this, you should do that. Let Bnei Yisrael go free, and so on. Okay? So if he demonstrates with those simopsim, is good. Sometimes you can fool all of the people some of the time. So sometimes he knows how to predict an eclipse. He knows physics. He knows mathematics. He can predict an eclipse, and the others can't. So he says, I'm going to show you on my face there's going to be an eclipse tomorrow at 11:15 in the morning. He knows physics and the others don't know. So he can pull the wool over their eyes. So what the halacha says, that if the Navi shows a maifis and the people think that it's a maifis, people don't know physics, people think that it's a maifis, so they're supposed to listen to the Navi. The Rambam says the same is true. Let's say two witnesses come and say somebody was over the Abedazar, he deserves the death penalty. Is he given the death penalty? Maybe the two witnesses are telling a lie. It's ganz possible that the two Edom are telling a lie. That's the halacha. We try to interrogate the witnesses as much as possible, but it could well be that they're Edom Shek and we're killing an innocent man. But that's the halacha. If you have two Edom, so you give the death penalty. You make the guy pay the money based on the two Edom. So if a person comes, if he looks like a Meshuggah, so we don't accept what he says. He looks like a normal person. He gives us also some opsim. We check his credentials, so we believe him. He's another. We have to listen. Is that the Rambam says? That's why we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave the Hayru Ashur, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and they should knock on the next door neighbor's doors to ask for Matonas and Er Pesach from the Goyim. That's the Sismopsim was enough. But the Moshe Rabbeinu should, everything he said should be binding L'dayres, that's not enough. We have to have something better than that. So the Rambam says, the fact that we believe in Torah's Moshe, all the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, is not because of the Sismopsim, it's because we saw such a big population of Bnei Yisrael. The Rosh Hashanah Jewish men between the age of 20 and 60, leaving out the women, and leaving out the children, and leaving out the adults over 60, leaving out the Erev Rav, Oli Itam. There were many Gerim wanted to come also. So there are probably over 2 million people there on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over the Dinim, Moshe Yidaber v'Halakim Yaneinu B'Kol. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kvad Peh, Kvad Loshen. All of a sudden, when he said over the Dinim of the Torah, no more Kvad Peh. When he would talk about the weather, talk about politics, talk about the election, write the Kvad Peh. When he said over the Dinim, it wasn't Kvad Peh. And he spoke, he had no loudspeaker. They had no loudspeaker at that time. When he said, he had a booming voice. Everybody heard what he said. And then the Psukim say in Chumash, that's our historical tradition, when Moshe Rabbeinu said over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael, right after Maimon Hasinai, said over the dinim, so they listened to, everybody was sitting listening to the dinim. When he finished saying the dinim and started talking about the weather, his carne hod, his face was shining so much, it was blinding the people, they couldn't take it. So he had to walk around with a mask on his face. That's a strange thing. Walked around with a masva. But when he said over the dinim, it didn't bother them. That's our tradition, what it says in the Chumash. So the people saw this is not stam osis amopsim. Every single time it was Moshe Yedaber, he spoke v'alakim yanena b'kol. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him a voice to speak, and it was shechinah medaberes mitakron. It wasn't his voice. His voice wasn't so loud, and he couldn't speak so well. So the Bnei Yisrael believed in the nevuas of Moshe Rabbeinu, the nevuas that he gave Hayru Ashur. That was like every other navi. He gave osis amopsim, and we believe. But when he's saying over the dinim l'dayres, we believed in it not because of the osis amopsim, believe because we saw that this was shechinah medaberes mitakrona. So that's much more vadai. That's like we have a historical tradition that George Washington was the first president of the United States. Someone's going to go dingzach, we say zam shugana. So we have a very strong historical tradition. Our forefathers told us, I was saying a sipur lono, that there were so many people, there would be between the ages of 20 and 60 men. But now you saw leaving out the women, leaving out the children, leaving out the adults, leaving out the Arab. They all saw all of this. All our boyim shona b'midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu climbs up to Har Sinai and the shechinah medaberes mitakrona. No more kvat peh, and the karni ho didn't bother them. Kozman that he said the aloch is only when he finished saying the aloch is then he couldn't take it. He had to wear the masveh. So 40 years of this, day in, day out, every single day. So that's why we believe in the voice Moshe Rabbeinu regarding kol haTorah kulah. But just for the Hayra Shah that he said, that was the regular din of another. You give us some Muslim, so you have to believe him.
Next week there'll be no Shia.
Next week I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. The week after we'll be back again.
Question. What is about children playing ping pong on the Shabbos?
Playing ping pong? How old are the children? Young children? What?
Nine.
It's not the right thing on Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi that there were two cities that were destroyed in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Churban HaBayis, and the Chachamim attributed it to the fact they used to play ball. Doesn't say ping pong, says they used to play ball on Shabbos. In the Arab, they play ball in the Arab, but that's not what Shabbos is supposed to be for. So if the young children, how can you get them to be interested in Shabbos? But 9 years old, send them to Pirchei, whatever, send them to groups. They should learn. They should learn something. They should read stories of tzaddikim. They should learn Jewish history. They should do something Yiddish on Shabbos. Right. Welcome back. Shalom Aleichem.
All right, so you don't think it's appropriate?
No.